to Sometimes Heroes, Season 2, Episode 42. My name is James, and I'll be your Game Master. Let's introduce our players.
Hi, my name's Molly, and I play Eden, the noble human sorceress slash wizard.
My name is Winter, and I'll be playing the elf druid Sariel.
Hey, I'm Amanda, and I play Galena, the dwarven bard.
Wow. Making me bleep something this early, fine. Okay, I see how it is.
Hello, my name is Alex, and I play Dupe, the dwarf fighter.
Bueno.
Dupe.
And I'm Mark. I play Geesh, the human fighter paladin.
And last time on Sometimes Heroes, you finally found an expert on extra-dimensional horrors that was able to actually tell you the identity of the Nothing That Listens, which you now know to be called the Nameless Hunger. You sent out your various allies to scout about, including Dupe to check out the mercenaries. He discovered that the... What did you discover?
They see a ghosty thing or something? Some of them?
Yes.
Lady?
It may be that a couple weeks have passed since we last played. Yes. There has been a bunch of disturbing reports on the Western Front of the Bloody Maiden, a spirit that appears to soldiers in their time of need and inspires them to greater feats.
Also me, once a month.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
That tracks.
Am I awake for this?
In real life?
Yeah, you probably are, because it typically lasts for like 5 to 7 days. So,
yes.
Good night, everybody.
No.
You sent Lori to scrounge up some information from the low part of town and street meet to soar the skies and look with hawk's eyes to see if anything is afoot with his burb backup. But we join Galena as you are now being a troubadour, much like you were in Oblik. You've probably changed into something more acceptable by the nobles, so they don't get too scandalized by you.
Oh, but that's fun with the nobles. Scandalize them.
That's for the private, the private performances.
Maybe later in my set, I'll have a costume change.
As you are playing, you do see Connor and Odette walking around. It doesn't seem like there's specifically a ball going on right now or anything like that, but there's just entertainment all the time. Somebody's playing, and today it's you. Is there anything you want to do while you're here?
Can you remind me what Connor and Odette are trying to accomplish right now?
Connor and Odette, aka Cecilio and Cecilia Flonkerton, are attempting to find out exactly what is going on here. What the attitude towards the war is, what the king wants to do. You sent them in with pretty vague orders.
Okay, yeah. So what I want to do is start playing 1, 2, 3 rousing, upbeat, spirit-lifting songs to get the audience a bit more in a forthcoming, friendly mood, so they're more likely to give them the information they're looking for. And possibly drink more to be a little bit more open about stuff, too.
Okay, and it's dinner time, so much of the nobles have showed up. A lot of them appear to be warriors. Occasionally, they ask you to stop playing, so one of the nobles may come up and tell a tale, which appears to be a thing that they do here. Often, they play music along with it. Appears like much of the nobility is skilled in music. I want you to make your performance at disadvantage, because it appears like your style is a little bit counter to what they have going on here.
But I'm good at different styles, but I like my style the best.
Yeah, but okay. You want to get him dancing, and they're more of a bardic storytelling kind of thing going on.
Okay. It wasn't working, so I clicked it twice. Well, the lowest number I got was 17.
That is how disadvantage works, but still, the crowd in general seems to get up, and they actually, you realize that they should have interrupted you at this point to put another noble up on the stand to tell a tale of bravery in battle and chivalry and the like, but they let you keep playing because they're enjoying it, and a number of the nobles have gotten their foots a tapping, and several ladies have gotten up and started to dance, dragging various folk from their chairs to dance with them.
When I notice this, I'll be like, everybody find a dance partner. And then she points to Cecilio and Cecilia and goes, looks like we've got some newcomers. Let's show them some love.
You see like six different dudes in the crowd try to like get up and advance towards Odette, but the king himself steps down and puts out a hand, and
oh no.
She goes over and begins to dance very clumsily with him.
Oh no.
Connor gets up and sort of nervously looks around, and like eventually a kind of middle-aged, you know, matronly looking woman comes over and offers her his hand, and he just like smiles, and they have a very tame dance over there.
Get that MILF, Connor.
But for the most part, you perform and try to aid them in making people's lips just get a little bit looser.
Yes. Yeah, just like a little friendlier, a little more open to conversation.
Getting drunk.
Yeah, and with strangers and stuff. And maybe I'll play songs about nobles doing the right thing and standing up for the little guy or whatever. I don't know.
Oh, you get a big reaction from those kind of songs. Everybody's super into it.
Okay, cool.
The end of the night comes. A officious-looking gentleman comes to you at the end of the night and says, you made quite the splash on top of your
splash?
Normal...
What? No, I... What? Oh, I see.
Yes, a social splash. Don't worry, okay. You didn't spill anything.
Okay.
We're not going to charge you for the upholstery. I'm saying you received quite a few tips and requests for further shows.
Nice.
And you end up getting paid 53 gold.
Cool.
Whereas initially you agreed to play for 10. Like, you must have been well admired by the audience. And or they must be just obnoxiously flush with cash. One or the other.
Yes.
Connor and Odette come to you later in the night and leave the castle with you. Connor turns to you. He's a little flush with wine, but he turns to you and says, okay, so Eden is the talk of the whole castle. Because she came,
duh,
like 2 weeks
yes,
ago.
Yes, she is.
Yeah. I mean, she's great, but everybody thinks that something weird is going on because she hasn't gone before the king to introduce herself, but she's working for her brother on this like very sneaky thing that's supposed to save the town. So everybody knows she's really important, but she's like turned up her nose at like this guy who apparently is kind of a bigwig. Also, I think there was this mage that you guys must have fought. He got acid splashed all over him.
Oh, yeah.
He's alive?
Oh, no.
And I think they know who Guige is. Because they said it's a Silver Crescent guy. And like half the nobles don't believe it. They think it's just some like orcish hoodoo. But then half of the other ones are mad because they think the Silver Crescent is a bunch of bleeding hearts.
Galena scratches her chin in contemplation.
He sort of is leaning on Odette, who is leaning away from him, but like still supporting him.
Okay. Was I supposed to be back with the main crew at any point?
You actually see the main crew. They are approaching near the gates where the Unbreakable Temple is. They appear to be walking towards the Unbreakable Temple itself, Guige in the lead.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, I'll catch up with them, and we'll tell them what they found out. And I'll also say I think we need to work on some rumor spreading about how it wasn't us that attacked this mage, even though it was.
She's talking to us now, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Y'all enter the scene.
Is that necessarily a bad thing? I don't think that's a bad thing, is it? Why would it be bad?
Wait, was the mage like friend? Because they think it was orcs or it was you. And we don't want them to hate orcs, but we don't want them to think that you tried to melt someone with acid, because it was one of them that rode out there, wasn't it?
Well, I mean, I did drop my name, didn't I? Out of character, did I drop my name? I know I mentioned Quinn's name, right?
You mentioned that you are Paladin of the Silver Crescent at the very least.
Okay.
But Connor, sort of leaning on Odette, is like, yeah, is bad. You don't, that guy's like the son of a lord. And if he's been maimed, that's probably like some like revenge killing territory, man.
Oh no.
Geesh just lightly shrugs his shoulders, shakes his head like, so what? It's the third day, so what?
Oh, it's the Lackest family. And his name was, Edward. Yeah.
Edward, what a stupid name.
Right?
Geesh continues to look very indifferent to this whole talk of revenge killings, because it's very old hat to him.
So, Connor, was there any more talk about who might have been the acid thrower?
No. It seems like they think it was a bunch of orcs, and then maybe a goblin, but, like, regular goblins, who knows who they fight for. Anyway. It's just Geesh that they kind of know about.
Okay, well, at least I've only got one person who knows that I might have sort of had a hand in accidentally maiming someone.
Now you just need to kill Geesh, so no one can rat on you.
What are you doing, James?
I'm kidding. You guys are in front of the Unbreakable Temple, and in pretty much no time at all, you are standing outside. The sun is almost set. There is a paladin standing in front, along with one of the regular army. He is just sort of looking down at you. Full plate mask over his face.
Are we within range of him? Does he hear what we're saying?
I assume you would stop talking about such things before you got close.
Right, so I want to say something before we get too close. Sure. I would say, well, I don't have the ability to throw any acid. I don't think anyone knows you have the ability to throw acid, Galena. So either they're going to think it's some sort of orc magic, or just, you know, those guys exploded, which, you know, I think we're clear on that. I really want to ask about the king, but you want to, like, push us towards the temple, James?
No, you can ask about more stuff. Or
okay.
Galena, do you just want to tell them everything that Connor just told you?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And Connor and Dutch are still with us, right?
Yeah, but Connor's looking less and less in it.
Okay. I'll splash him with some water.
He looks like a wet drunk now.
Okay, Connor, go sleep it off.
Odette sort of looks around and does like a little wave and starts dragging Connor off. Who you hear him as he is leaving saying, "You're nice.
Connor, be nice."
Oh, he can't. He can't hurt her. In fact, it's probably better that she take him because that way he's less likely to get attacked.
Yeah.
So they met the king, and what's his read on the situation with the Absol?
I don't think he really had like a... Connor didn't say. It was just that I heard that he seemed a bit miffed that Eden hasn't come and introduced herself to him yet.
Hey, Eden.
What? Yes, you know, I am here. I exist.
You know, I was thinking a really good way to cut through all this craziness would be for us to talk to the king and see if we can't... Well, Quinn is making himself indisposed. Quinn is making himself hard to reach.
Indisposable? Oh, sorry, that's not what you mean. Yes, I know what you're trying to say. Yes, he is.
So Quinn is making himself hard to get in touch with, and he's preparing in case there's an actual attack. If we can talk to the king, sort of get things so that there isn't a lot of war, this will completely render his idea of a defense pointless, which he may or may not be doing for bad reasons. But it's, right. You see what I'm saying? It just makes the whole thing moot.
Wait, what? How does it make the whole thing moot?
Well, if the king can come to some sort of agreement with the orcs, then there's no war. And the defenses around Black Kid. Yeah, James.
Real quick. Geesh, I want you to make just a history check. Because I feel like I've made this clear, but clearly I haven't.
Well, it has been a while. Okay. I rolled a 7 in history.
Nope, keep going. Sounds good.
Wow. Well, I don't know. I mean, if we could get him to agree to not fight the orcs, wouldn't this make the whole reason for Quinn's defense pointless?
Allegedly.
Okay, well, I don't know.
I assume, I think... I strongly hope, well, yes, maybe.
Well, it sounds like you need to talk to him at some point anyway. I don't know if what I'm saying is correct, but something to keep in mind. I guess we should just take a look at this temple, though.
Okay. You guys step up into the temple. It appears to be mostly empty. There are a couple of younger clerics going around and actually like snuffing out candles. It appears to be like they are closing down for the night. But besides those clerics, you see a trio of burly soldiers near the shrine to Saloon, and a sort of more traditionally dressed woman and a female soldier next to the shrine to Morden. But other than that, it's empty.
Really quick, out of character, James. My vision was that there was something under the Grumsh statue, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Geesh will say, I'm going to go look at the statue of Grumsh. If you don't mind, Eden, if anyone comes to bother us, just tell them we're doing something for your brother.
I imagine that'll probably work.
Yeah, I think so. I'd be surprised if it doesn't.
Come to think of it, if we're looking for a way under the statue, wouldn't it help to have someone look who had studied architecture, maybe?
Eden does a very conspicuous hair flip.
Oh, right. You did study architecture. Yeah. I mean, let's check this out. And then you do the talky talk if someone gets fussy at us.
Sounds like a plan.
All right, James. We want to group investigate that statue.
Okay. So Geesh and Eden go ham on the statue. You march right across that big chamber and up to this ebony eye wreathed in flame atop a large pedestal and try to do a classic check for hidden doors.
Well, yeah, that's, I mean, I'm pretty sure it's going to be something magical, but yeah, Geesh will look for some sort of like switch or obvious or maybe a physical indicator that this can be opened.
Okay, Geesh, make a perception. Mm. And Eden also make a perception, but at advantage. While those two are doing that, Galena, Sariel, what are you up to?
Wait, you said at advantage, right?
I was supposed to do it at advantage, but that's okay. Do it at advantage and I'll do it at normal.
No. He rolls normal and you roll at advantage.
Ugh, geez, listen to this GM trying to like tell us what to do and stuff.
I know.
Where's Dupe?
You sent Dupe out of town to go check on mercenaries.
Oh,
Geesh, oh no.
Yeah, that's why I asked.
Oh no.
I feel like you guys aren't doomed yet. But to answer the question.
Oh, yes we are, baby.
Oh, yeah, you are. Sariel is running through her memory to see what god it would be best to ask guidance about keeping others safe and or educating others with goblins in mind.
Oh, with goblins in mind. Are you looking for their spiritual enlightenment or their actual education?
Actual education?
Ayun, definitely. The god of scholars and magic.
Sariel will head over to whatever little areas set aside for Ayun and offer a prayer.
Okay. All right, Galena. What are you up to?
I think I'm just kind of helping whoever needs. It's just me, Geesh, Eden, and Sariel, right?
And Sten. He's there. He's just wandering around one of the pillars, sort of admiring the stonemanship.
Okay. I'm going to look for anything that has to do with either music, water, or healing, medicine.
Okay. You've got Corallon, the god of art and music. You've got Melora, which is the goddess of the ocean and nature. And healing. There are several gods that have to do with healing, but for the most part, people tend, at least humans, tend to attribute that to Saloon.
Okay.
And there are three burly soldiers standing in front of that.
Okay, I'm gonna go ask them why they're standing in front of it.
Okay. You step up to these three guys. One of them turns to you.
Yes?
Is it wrong to pray to a goddess? He gestures to the Saloon statue. This guy is like an absurdly square head and sort of like a twisty mustache.
Oh, I was just wondering why you were going to Saloon. I've been hearing rumors about some Saloon person lately.
Ah, rumors, you say. Perhaps you should report it to the guard. And the three of them laugh.
Galena just shrugs and she's just like, I'm new to town, so I'm just curious.
Well, this place will be closing soon, so perhaps you should get on your way so you do not get lost in the dark.
I have good dark vision. I'm gonna go check out the other statues. Anyway, have a good night, bye.
Mm-hmm. They continue to watch you as you go, and since you've interacted with them, you kind of realize that they definitely weren't praying. They're just sort of standing there waiting, and now that you are walking away, you can tell that they are just watching you guys.
Can I roll insight on them?
Sure.
I rolled 16 in insight. I want to know what it looks like they're doing, like besides waiting, like who are they waiting for?
It appears like they're waiting, but they don't seem to be like stressed out or anything. So far as you can tell, they are all calmly waiting for you guys to leave.
Ah, okay. Do they look like they could be aggressive?
They have weapons. They all look like they are built enough to use them.
Okay, so she goes over as Eden and Guige are dealing with their investigation. She goes over to Sariel and whispers, like, I think those guys are keeping an eye on us. Should I get rid of them?
Sariel will shake her head. They're most likely just doing their jobs. As long as they don't start any trouble, we definitely don't want to start any.
Oh no, I was going to kindly suggest to them that it would be a good idea to take their leave and they have nothing to worry about.
As you guys are talking, the women praying at the statue of Morden get up off their knees and walk towards the door, and the one that is dressed in like a soldier says some hushed words to the other woman, and the other woman walks out onto the street. But the soldier continues to stay in the room and just sort of leans against the inside of the door looking at you guys. At this point, Guige, as you are looking around this...
I rolled a 7! I critically failed.
And Eden?
I rolled a 5, even at advantage. Wow. Nice. Go me.
Guige, as your fingers are tracing around this structure, the soldiers are just sort of watching you because you look like a weird person who's trying to find something on this statue.
What ifs?
But as you are tracing your fingers along the edge, one of your fingers gets cut on the sharp obsidian stone.
That's probably enough to activate Crumsh, sure.
On the side of this pedestal, there's a bunch of sharp edges and carvings and whatnot. But rather than your blood running down the side, it starts to run like sideways towards the center.
Oh, that's not at all unsettling.
But it's going pretty slow.
It
seems to be sort of generally snaking its way towards a circle motif.
I would like to say I'm on the side where they can't see it, right?
Sure.
I'm going to quickly take my sleeve and mop the blood off the side of the statue.
Okay.
No! Don't do that. Let it... Wait, I want to see where it goes. Where's it head? Why is it going sideways? Where is it heading?
I have a lot more blood. I have a lot more blood I can test this with, Eden. I don't want to activate some ridiculously magic object while these dudes are trying to get us in a trap.
Well, I can fry them with light. Okay, you're
so
right.
So Guige uses his sleeve to quickly mop the blood off the statue if possible.
Oh, it's actually, give me a sleight of hand check to like do this without them noticing that you bled on the statue.
Oh, well, I'm gonna like blow on the statue and be like, like I'm trying to like scuff it, like I'm trying to get it nice and clean.
Like you're attacking it, or like you spilled something on it.
Like I'm, how do I put this? Like, you know when you take your glasses and you breathe on your glasses and then you rub your sleeve against it or a cloth.
Oh, polish so like you're trying thought, to polish thought. It and see what's yes. some underneath.
Yes.
Okay. Cool.
Would that be a deception?
No, just a sleight of hand.
I rolled a 15.
The guards look a little confused and slightly alarmed, but as you buff away your blood, it continues to, like, try to even come out of your cloth and, like, go back up onto the stone and things like that, but you get it all.
Holy crap.
Huh.
That was odd.
So who all is left in the temple, James?
4 soldiers, 3 standing next to this shrine to Saloon, and 1... standing next to the door. You also know that there's 1 outside and then also a paladin, unless they left without you noticing.
Are you ready to go seduce all of them at the same time?
No. Do you have a map for it, James? For the inside of the shrine? There we go. That would help.
All right. Sorry, I thought you were on this already.
Okay, so there we go. And let's just, if you don't mind, can we have Sten closer? Maybe he's looking at the elements?
No. He's...
No. Okay.
He's checking out the pillar that is all about the gods and the astral sea.
Okay, then. So, given Eden's reaction, I'm going to pretend that she saw that. And Guige will be like, and he'll put a finger up over his lips. And then he'll move along the edge and motion to Sariel, like, hey, come here.
Yeah, I want to say when Galena pointed out the soldiers, and then we realized that that other person had stayed in, that we would be heading that way. What's up?
So, I think... Geesh is going to lower his voice super duper quick. Actually, no. I know Sariel can read lips, so I'm going to say everything without verbalizing it. I will say, I think this Grum statue needs blood because I just cut myself and the blood started to travel up. Was it up the statue or to the side? Along the side. My blood started to travel along the side of the statue.
Oh, who's seen Little Shop of Horrors? Yes. It's Audrey too!
But then I will verbalize, I think this might be a trap. And he will like motion. Well, no, I can't motion with my eyes. I'm wearing a blindfold. I will point with my hand, you know, but my body's blocking so they can't see. I will point towards all the guards.
You want me to get rid of them?
James.
Galena, no.
What's up, Molly?
Just a suggestion. You know, you don't have to do it or anything, but if the statue comes to life and begins an upbeat 60s rock musical number that we all join in, I will not be upset.
Oh,
reasonable. Yeah. In this moment, as you guys are conspiring behind the statue.
What? No, only two of us are.
conspiring around the statue.
There I'll you get go. Rid of them. I'll get rid of them. Don't worry,
Sten
guys, I got this.
Sten begins to discuss how good of a seaman he is.
Oh, no.
Just generally to the room.
I appreciate this.
All sorts of not good.
And, this reminds me of the sea.
Yep. Sten.
And my wonderful boat that I had on the sea was very salty.
Stop talking about seamen.
Two of the soldiers that in front of the Statue of Saloon walk over to him very casually and say, "Perhaps it's time you went home, old-timer." And gently escort him out. From behind them, his hand gives you a thumbs up.
Oh!
But there's still like two people in here, right?
Yep, two soldiers.
Okay.
They're very clearly both just, like, staring at you now, because you look suspicious as all get out.
I'm gonna cast Suggestion on them.
Okay, how does Suggestion work? Is it single target or a group?
I think it is just one.
You could certainly walk over to one and suggest something.
Hey, Edith, do you want to help Galena? Just in case, you know, just drop your brother's name and be like, yo, important biz, clear out.
Okay, I'm gonna go over to the guards and look at the one who looks like the friendlier one?
There are two left. One is next to the Statue of Saloon. He's big, square-faced, curly, thin mustache guy. And then there is a woman who you, like, she's all the way on the other side of the room next to the door, sort of leaning against it.
Okay, I'll go over to the one that I talked to earlier, and I'll say, hey, I was talking to my friend over there, the one with the blindfold, and actually kind of his she thinks for a minute, his nurse, because she points to her eyes, you know, a condition.
Goodness, did he lose them in the war?
She thinks for a minute, they were damaged, let's say, so he's struggling, and he needs, like, I really think he needs more time in here with his gods, and I wanted to keep him company. And I promise you that we will take care of the temple. I don't know how long he needs. It keeps him calm.
Real quick, I want you to make a deception just trying to sell that Geesh has damaged eyes and that you are his nurse.
Okay. I say this, like, just enough so my voice can carry over to Geesh.
Right. Well, Geesh is selling it because he's been, like, putting his hands all over everything.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm great.
Like, actually make this an advantage. Because of that.
Oh, okay.
Well, there you go.
I rolled 23 twice, so 23 deception.
Of course. We will wait with him. We will keep the shrine open for you.
Oh, okay. I just thought if you guys needed to go home, and like we're just gonna like sit quietly for a little bit longer.
I'm afraid we have business after this, after the closure, but we will wait with you. It's a man who has lost his sight and service to the kingdom. A worthy sacrifice.
Okay, thanks. She smiles at Squareface Man, SpongeBob Squareface, and turns back to Sariel, Eden, and Geesh, and her smile turns into a sort of grimace as she's walking back to them. So you hear that? You hear that, buddy? She says,
who hangs out in a temple in an imaginary kingdom?
SpongeBob SquareFace.
SpongeBob SquareFace goes and sits on a bench nearby and gives like a down palm, like relax symbol to the lady at the door, who visibly relaxes and does the same, sits down on a bench nearby.
Okay. Yeah, Galena's like pats Geege on the shoulder and goes, "Hear that, buddy? We can stay as long as you need."
Cool, Tuggy says.
Sariel will quietly suggest that they might have gotten all they can get out of this trip. Out of character, just because this sort of thing is always interesting to me. Molly rolled her advantage. She got a 5 in that perception. She got 2 5s. And just now we got 2 23s. And that, I don't know.
I actually looked up because there was a time at which we were just like critting like nonsense. And I looked up a thing and it's like, here's the actual statistics of roll 20s, you know, random roller. And it's 5% for everything, apparently, by like a third party. And I was like, oh, neat. I thought it might have been weighted towards weird things, but it's not.
That is interesting. Well, now I'm glad I interrupted us for that numbers observation. The more you know.
The more you know.
Ba-dum-bum-bum. So at that, Geege is, I guess, once it's been communicated that these fells have business, Geege will whisper Eden, maybe you might want to ask them what they're going to do since, you know, you've got that Melon name.
Hey, b****s.
Eden, no.
Why, yes, my good lady.
I keyed. Wait, sorry, what am I asking them?
So they said that they have some business to attend to in this temple after closing. And we want to see the stairway that's under this statue. So Geege is asking if you want to be like, yo, what are you doing? I got to handle some biz here because my bro.
Oh, okay. Well, no, I don't want to. Eden sits on the ground and eats a sandwich. No, I'm joking. I will go ask them what their after hours business is. Okay, but in all seriousness.
So you walk up to the lady or the guy? The guy is much closer.
I'll go ahead and walk up the dude.
He looks up at you and nods respectfully, but stays silent. It seems like he thinks that you guys are doing something and he doesn't want to interrupt.
What time of day is it?
It's a couple hours past sunset.
Okay. Good evening, sir. How are you?
I am well.
I'm sorry. Should I be speaking at a lower volume?
I don't know. Your friend there, he lost his eyesight, yes? Does that not make his hearing more perceptive? I don't want to disturb him.
Oh, no. He's not blind. She kind of looks back at him and then looks back at the soldier. It's a long story. But no, there's no need to talk at a low volume.
Oh, of course.
Don't worry about that.
Well, please, have a seat. We'll be waiting for some time, no doubt.
Oh, really? Why is that? What do you mean?
Your dwarven friend over there informed me that the not-blind man needed to pray for some time.
Oh. Well, yes, he does often need to set aside long periods for prayer. Oh, you know paladins.
Oh. At that, he smiles, like, super broadly and stands up and holds out a hand. I do know paladins. I should introduce myself. I am Sir Gaston of White Rift, Chevalier of the Searing Rose.
Gosh, no, it disturbs me to see you, Gaston.
You, Gaston, looking so down in the dumps. Punch. No,
everyone here
praise like Gaston.
Well, that's it. We're done.
Rides horse like Gaston. Has poor face like Gaston.
This is going to continue for the rest of the night. Anyway.
Yeah.
I did this to myself. Carry on.
Can you read? How many eggs do you eat?
Anyway. So, wait, hang on. Out of character, before I say something that's going to sound really stupid, when the comment was made about having to wait around until after dark, was that to us or were we just within earshot?
I think he would have said it loud enough for you to hear, but Galena also said that he said this, was basically like, you do what you gotta do, we understand that you have a person in need, but we're doing something after the church closes, so we're staying. No matter what.
Okay, cool. So Eden will try to act casual. So, how long have you been here today?
Today? I came in around noon. I was riding north, bringing vengeance to our enemies.
Oh, long day for you. Well, I certainly hope you get to go home and rest your head soon.
Soon. But there is no true rest while the wicked live.
I know that that's certainly the case. So, I heard that you may have to stay after the temple has been closed to the public? That seems unusual. What's going on?
Roll a persuasion. You seem like you're trying to come in from a very just friendly, curious place, which may work.
You said persuasion?
Mm-hmm.
Eden rolled a 16 in persuasion.
He bites his lip a little bit. You seem like a fine woman, and I cannot tell you more, but there are rites paladins go through to gain power, to gain understanding, to gain wisdom, and one of those rites will take place tonight. Though I wish all could take part, only some truly possess the light, the inner light, to accept the wisdom.
Oh, I completely understand. I suppose it's not open to spectators, then. Is that correct?
He chuckles, no. No, I'm afraid not.
I see. All right, well, that's a shame, but I certainly hope that whatever it is you're taking care of after the sun sets, that all goes well, that all goes exactly as planned.
Do not concern yourself. It will go as it always does. May Paylor's light illuminate you and burn your impurities away.
Same to you, sir. Thank you. I hope you have a good evening.
Hey, James.
He just nods and smiles. What's up, Mark?
So I just heard all of that, right?
Yeah, he wasn't like trying to be quiet or anything.
Right, because he even raised his voice. So Gigi is going to look from around the corner and say, Cyril, I'm just going to level with this guy. I think he'll be down to like not stop us.
Yeah, it's some paladin shit, you know.
Well, I'm saying this to Cyril just in case she's like, yo, no.
No, I know.
Stupid.
I'm just joking.
Cyril's kind of unsure, but she thinks between this guard already being kind of favorable towards them and Eden still having the potential to pull the Milan name, that it might work out.
Or we beat them senseless and then...
No.
Anyway.
These
no?
are nice people. They like okay. us.
As you are debating this, the two guards that walked Sten outside walk back inside.
All right. So at that, he just quickly gives Cyril a thumbs up and starts to walk over to Gaston.
Gaston.
This is the point where if you really think this is bad, you can do a message and be like, yo, no, stop.
Eden, are you still talking with him or did you walk away?
I walked away.
As you approach Gige, the Gaston stands up from his bench and sort of dusts off his legs and says, Hail, initiate of the Silver Crescent.
Yes, that actually would be my rank. Hey there. And Gige will hold out his hand to shake.
He shakes it firmly, possibly like too firmly, that kind of dick measuring contest kind of way. And he says to you, I heard some disturbing rumors that one of your order was aiding those vicious savages to the north.
I want to do a know your enemy and I want to do a insight check to see how honorable this fella is. Would an insight give me that, James?
Insight will not tell you how honorable someone is. It will tell you, like, whether they are lying or what they're feeling at the moment.
All right, let me get an insight to see what he's feeling at the moment.
Okay.
Roll to 16.
He is feeling pretty congenial at the moment. Like, he thinks he's striking up a conversation, but he is also kind of entering, like, the hunt mode, but he doesn't really expect anything to come of it.
Okay, then. And for my know your enemy, let me know his strength, his current HP, and his AC.
Tell me those three, your three.
My strength from on the left side or?
Yes.
Yeah, so my strength is 16.
Same.
Okay. My con is 14.
Same.
And my HP, no. What is?
I don't remember what you said, but you can change it now if you want to.
Yeah, let's just do HP. My HP is 77.
Higher then.
Okay, then. As Gige approaches him, and he'll say, you'll have to forgive me. I couldn't help but overhear you were going to undergo your trials. I took my trials. Though I'm sure you're probably a higher rank than myself. I underwent my own trials. I think you might be able to help us. I don't know what your trials might require of you, but me and my friends are trying to stop the war.
He looks at you like, scrunches his eyebrows together. Stop the war.
Yes.
Well, that is what we are trying to do as well. It will only stop once we exterminate those vermin.
That is one possible solution, but Saloon has actually given me a vision, and I think there's something beneath the statue of Grumsh that might help. I just need to find a way in.
His eyebrows both raise up in, like, obvious surprise, and he says, beneath?
I totally just messed up, but I'm going to keep rolling with this.
What are you rolling with?
No, I mean just this. I'm going to keep going. So he's going to say, what exactly is your trial? I don't want to disturb it, but if you and your comrades would like to assist us, I would welcome it if there's any dangers we have to fight.
He nods kind of slowly at you. I'm afraid we can't invite you to participate, and it is very important that we do it tonight. But perhaps tomorrow we can collaborate on this hidden savage temple beneath this one.
What does my insight say on this?
Roll an insight.
I gotta roll another one? Okay.
Yep.
Roll the 19.
He is very clearly hiding something, and his eyes keep darting towards the shrine to Grumsh.
Well, this is going to be a talk battle, I guess. Geege will cross his arms and say, you're a man of action. You don't need to hide your intentions behind your words. What's truly going on? And I guess that'd be a persuasion, right?
Sure.
James, wow.
Oh! Sorry, go.
Now I feel bad for interrupting that thunder. I'm assuming everyone else can kind of hear what's going down. They're not really making any attempts to be quiet about it.
Unless Geege was, this guy is definitely not. He is talking possibly too loud.
I'm speaking in such a way that the pillar is to my side, so the sound's probably bouncing more towards... I mean, if anyone gets close enough, they'll hear it. But you guys will have an easier time hearing me than someone at the far end of the temple.
Sariel just wants to run through her memory real quick and see if she knows anything about rituals or either the Sacred Rose or Grumsh that need to be completed on this day or around this time period specifically.
Sure. Do a religion. Just so you know, Dupe, you and Oost are walking into the town right now and can see the Unbreakable Temple where the guards are standing outside, and they appear to be like fiddling with the door like they're getting ready to close it up. But as you are passing by, you hear a loud paladin talking to Geege.
I can hear him from outside?
Yep, he's talking way too loud.
Holy shit.
The acoustics in there probably actually amplify him pretty well.
So let's drop our roles unless you want Dupe's action to play real quick.
No. Sariel, what do you know?
Sariel rolled a 20 in religion.
You don't know anything about Searing Rose rituals, except that they probably have something to do with fire. You've heard that some of their rituals involve like some level of self-harm, but again, your knowledge is pretty sketchy on them. You know that adherents of Grumsh practice bloodletting, and often there is like a window in which you need to like feed him, otherwise you might get like cursed or something.
Well, that jives with the with Geege injuring himself.
Other than that, both of these people are very separated from what you believe in. So all of what you know is very academic and hearsay, not from the inside of organization.
He read it in a book once. Gotcha.
All right, James. I rolled a 20 in persuasion. What's Gaston going to say now?
He looks down at you and looks to the rest of the group and says, I'm sure you would not begrudge me if I were to cast a divine eye in your direction before I state my true intentions.
Well, I mean, yeah, go for it. And Geege is totally open to this because he honestly did have a vision from Saloon, and he is hoping whatever's under there will help him stop it.
He takes out a small little chunk of black stone and places it between two fingers and crushes it in front of him and like sprinkles the dust. And you can see it just sort of form a film in front of him. And he squints through it at you and snarks, blowing the dust around. You're weaker than I thought. Well, it shouldn't hurt to tell you. I intend to complete our ritual, which, to be honest, has no bearing on you, so I shan't tell you more. And then I intend to find a way into this temple underneath and destroy it. Preferably, the whole thing, find the secret. Perhaps even its cornerstone. Before then, you must leave. So, as I can assume that you are done here?
No, we really got to handle this. And this is kind of a bit, I mean, Sorry, Molly, I'm just going to drop Quinn's name. Seeing that he's being all
uppity. I forgive you.
Seeing that he's being all uppity, you should go, nah, no, this is actually pretty important. I mean, if you don't like this, you may have to take this up with Quinn. I mean, you're just going to start walking back to the statue.
Should you roll a deception?
Don't bother. A hand goes on your shoulder and firmly grasps you.
Firmly grasp it!
Go tattle to your betters.
Oh, shit, he's not effing around.
Can I start casting spells on him now?
Absolutely. I mean, unfortunately for Glenna, she has very few spells that she can cast in a subtle fashion. So
can I lightning him?
Pretty, yes, you can. It's the D&D. You can do whatever you want to.
It's okay. I will show mercy. I'll let Glenna take a turn first because I'm such a nice person like that.
Well, first of all, I'm going to cast a vicious mockery and say, I can make fun of his square face. But when he says, oh, you're weaker than I thought, she kind of perks up and starts getting annoyed and is just like, don't underestimate us, you fool. You are incredibly easily swayed.
Do it.
Yeah.
That sounds insulting enough.
Yeah, that's what she says. Vicious mockery. Boom.
Okay, your he wisdom hurts. Saves against that. Does 13 beat it? What's the DC for your spells?
15. It's 15. And then I do 1d4 psychic damage.
Okay,
or
roll
he
it.
He takes 1d4 psychic damage.
He, as this is said, is, you know, grasping onto your shoulder, Guige, and saying mean things, and Galena yells past you. And as you turn around, the square-faced knight, his nose is bleeding ever so slightly, and his grip loosens significantly as he squints his eyes together in pain, scrunches his eyebrows, and clearly like he has a headache kind of thing going on.
And then I'm gonna cast heroism on Guiche.
Well, all right then, I guess I'll take that.
I'll walk up and I'll put my hand on Guiche's shoulder or elbow or whatever I can reach.
What do you tell him?
I say he just used some fancy trick to tell you that you're weaker than him, but he doesn't know you. And what you have. And who you are.
You don't know me. You don't know what I got.
All right, Guiche. You are immune to fear and you have some temp HP.
I got a mangina.
What is happening? What is this? What?
I also don't know what's
vagina.
Up.
I don't know. I'm I don't know what's
up. Calm down, fuzzy.
Okay.
Bit,
okay,
Guiche.
Please. Guiche will nod at these nice things that Glenn has just said. He says, it's nice to hear that. I would like to choke this guy out, James. Can I do that?
You can. There are three people watching.
That seems like a mild overreaction.
Oh, there's three people watching. Well, in that case, is he stumbling or he's let go of my shoulder and is holding his head?
Can I whisper to, or message? That's the...
Yeah, that's the one you can do.
Sariel's going to see things kind of escalating and is going to message to Guiche that if they are trying to get into it to destroy stuff, we can either wait for them to fail, or if they succeed, we can follow them and have this out later. But we don't necessarily want to have this out now when they can probably get reinforcements. Probably. Guiche would know more about that city life than she would, though, so...
What I want to say I'll do then, now that she said that, is as this guy lets go of my shoulder, and I've been imbued with heroism, I guess I feel less fearful, I'm going to turn around as if I'm going to grab him as if isn't to support him, and I will. He's wearing a helmet, right?
Yeah, but it's open faced.
But it does, like, if it's positioned in a funny way, it would cover his eyes, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And, like, how is his footing looking right now?
He's taken a couple steps back, just like to regain his balance. It seems like he went off balance for a second.
Jeez. I want to grab him and say, I want to call to his friends and say that he's sick and needs help. And I almost want to try and sleight of hand some of the poison that I have in my coat.
That sounds like a thing you could try to do.
I really wish someone had checked the eggs. I will just say Guiche will move towards him and grab his shoulders and say, are you all right? Do you need help? And Guiche will just play along. He won't take any malicious actions other than just acting in this way.
Okay. As you do this, the guards across the room sort of advance, but not in a threatening manner, more of like a, oh, what's going on over here manner. And the two from outside also step in, and one of them starts to close the doors behind him. Dude, you see this from outside.
I seen Sten?
No, Sten is gone.
Ah, f***.
Oost you is do... next to you, though.
Yeah, so you do have Oost.
Yeah. Get in that door.
Do you want to just, like, stick a foot in and be like, hey, I'm here to pray?
Yeah, pretty much. Be like, hey, is the temple closed?
The Knight of the Searing Rose, who is currently closing the door, he isn't doing, like, urgently or anything, is like, yes, please come back in the morning.
Oh, but my friends are still in there. I kind of need to talk to them.
He looks back behind him and looks in front of him. Are you sure?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that Dupe? Dupe, get in here!
The paladin in front of you, like, sort of reluctantly opens the door and lets you in.
Thank you.
What are you guys doing?
Geesh will start to walk Gaston to his friend and say, I think your man is sick. You should take him to get some aid.
The man recovers completely. Was anyone else doing something during this time, Eden or Sariel?
Sariel is very much standing back primly, waiting to see how things go, whether we need diplomacy or bear. But is basically just looking politely disengaged at the moment.
Okay. Eden steps up on this fool. Molly?
Gotta take down Gaston, dude.
Gaston.
Let's beat him up. I'm all for beating him up. He's a dick. Well, I don't like him. He's got a scar face.
I'm not getting up in anybody's face, but I do want to at least prepare for a situation in which Geege might need backup.
Thank you.
Also, I want to sing a rousing musical number with Gaston, but I don't think that's going to happen at this point.
I'm sorry. I'm just letting you down. Gaston turns to his comrades who are advancing sort of cautiously, wondering what's up from the other side of the room. And he says, this... I'm trying to think of what he would say.
In the meantime, I can sing a song.
He turns to Galena and says, I would not try that again, dwarf. Your petty mind tricks will not work on me twice.
Oh, shit.
Trust me, I've got a lot more where that came from, and I am not weak.
He steps back and puts a hand on his sword, and so do all the other people at the entrance. And the one next to you, Dupe, just, like, looks at you and gives you, like, a, you want to go?
Are they all in the same general cluster?
You can see the map, can't you?
Oh, wait, yeah.
The rest of them are relatively near the door, and Dupe and Oost are standing between two more of them, the ones that were at the door before.
Oh, okay. Well, then I can't. My plan won't be good.
Hey, James.
Mm-hmm?
Does this door lock from the inside?
It does.
I'm gonna lock that.
Yes, queen.
The guard who's watching you also steps back from you and puts a hand on a sword, and the paladin does the same. Oost just cracks her knuckles.
This ought to be fun.
All right. Sariel's gonna step in. Sariel's gonna step in.
I really hope Odette comes back there as she tucks in Connor. I would really welcome arrows flying through the windows. But what were you saying, Sariel?
Sariel's gonna try to diplomacy this, and then if it continues to go south, we'll just deal with it going south.
Okay, what's your plan?
Sariel is going to step forward and apologize. Something to the effect of, we don't mean to come across as combative. When you're used to the battlefield, sometimes all you see is battles everywhere. But we actually have the same goal, which is to get underneath the statue and to end the conflict. There's no need for us to fight.
Sariel, come on. This guy's racist. The way he wants to end the conflict is to kill all the orcs.
Be chill. Look, what happens? What happens?
Be chill.
Sariel says sadly from around the statue.
Sariel in message is like, what happens once we're under the statue happens once we're under the statue.
Galena lowers her hand and her water flask a little bit and kind of nods.
But that's my attempt.
Roll at advantage, because you struck a chord there. I'm not sure if you know which part of it struck a chord, but something clearly struck a chord.
I have my suspicions. What should I be rolling at advantage? Persuasion?
Oh, yeah, persuasion.
Ooh, no such luck. It was only a 13.
His face clearly softens for a moment, and he brings up one of the hands that was about to pull out what is clearly a greatsword, and he thumbs his nose, which pulls a bunch of blood off, and he begins talking, but, like, it's pretty obvious as just his bare hand, the blood starts, like, climbing up it and up his arm. just like a single droplet.
Can I shape water the blood away from whatever, wherever it's going?
No. I'm going to say you haven't quite mastered bloodbending yet.
Oh, no.
I think that could be a slippery slope of abilities.
If we want to just avoid that even being an issue, I feel like anything Galena would try to do right now, Sara would probably just, like, make hand gestures like she was threatening cat bats.
just raise one kneaded paw and wave it around.
Mm. Yeah.
But he says, you're right. Sometimes passions of war end up with allies destroying each other. And like I said before, you are welcome to come and aid us in this endeavor tomorrow. But tonight we must accomplish this ritual. We will not destroy all of the enemy without our brethren from the Silver Crescent.
I'm confused. Is he talking about me?
Yes. He went from ready to fight you, but like feeling pretty good about it, to calm, to now it looks like he's barely restraining himself, like he wants to cut you. He's biting his lip pretty hard in a bad way.
So he's saying he and his friends are down to go under the statue with us, but it'd have to be tomorrow. But they wouldn't destroy everything that's under the statue?
The way I'm interpreting it is they're going to do this thing tonight. They're going to attempt to destroy under the statue tonight. But the rest of the battle, you know, wiping out the orcs, they'll fight that with us. Is that correct? Would I need to roll an insight on that?
No, that is exactly what they're trying to say. But they are also saying that, like, probably whatever is underneath here is, like, big and bad. So you can come help if it's too much for us.
But are they going to do that tonight or tomorrow?
Tonight. They are doing that without you.
Oh, okay. Well, then at that point, I guess Gij will put his hands up and be like, well, yeah, I mean, that's what I suggested earlier. So that sounds great. And he'll put his hands out to be like, all right, let's not kill each other.
He just sort of jerks his head towards the door.
Wait, why?
He's asking us. Well, he's not asking. He's telling us to leave.
Wait, but you just said that he wanted us to help him tonight.
No.
They are going to do it tonight. If they fail or they find it too difficult, they will, of course, call upon their allies.
Yeah, I guess I will stand aside. I really don't like the idea of them destroying something that might be really important down there. But at the very least, I'm going to stand aside and then just let them open it. And then we could, I guess, slip an app behind them. He will shrug and then step aside and he'll motion to Oost and Dupe to catch up.
Well, no, we would be heading towards them. They're closer to the entrance. I think I'm the furthest back. So I would move forward and just kind of, I guess, mother hen people towards the door, assuming no one resists.
Gij will make face and say, are you sure you don't want someone to stay behind to make sure you guys are all right?
Can I do another insight? Because I don't trust them. I don't trust that they're not going to try to hurt people. Because they obviously don't like orcs. So what is the goal of this ritual?
I'm not sure an insight would tell you that. And yes, if they happen to find orcs underneath this building somehow, they would hurt them.
Yeah, I just don't feel good about this. I feel like I gotta fight these guys. I don't think the answer is destroying whatever's under this temple. I think Slim wanted to go down there.
I don't think so either. So it's just a matter of whether or not we're gonna have it out now, or whether or not we're gonna follow them in.
Okay, well, at the very least, I'm going to walk, and you guys can follow my lead. I'm going to walk towards Dupe and Oost just so our numbers are, so that we're all closer to each other. So if we do have to fight and something happens, we can make a choice.
Okay. I mean, I can try one more persuade, but I feel like these guys are kind of want to go at us at this point.
So you guys are walking across this temple towards the entrance towards Dupe and Oost. Mm-hmm. The soldiers around them have backed up and are hands on swords, but haven't drawn them yet because this is a weird situation. What's going on? We don't actually know, but this dwarf just closed the door on us. And Oost is looking disappointed because it looks like the situation is being diffused a little bit. What are you hoping to accomplish between them and the door, Gij?
I guess. Do any of them look like the leader?
The one you were just talking to, Gaston.
Oh, and he's still chilling over where we left him?
He has turned to follow you as you moved, but he didn't not move out of the way. He just, like, stepped aside and let you walk through.
Okay, then. I will ask the female paladin, or whatever she was, the one that was still in there. I'll whisper to her, I'm like, what's under the statue?
She looks confused. I don't know what you're talking about. Just know that you should leave. The temple's been closed for, like, half an hour now.
Well, what are you guys gonna do?
It's none of your business. From behind you, you hear Gaston belt out, if they don't leave in the next 30 seconds, throw them out on their asses. They are no longer welcome.
Okay, can I, like, cast... I'm gonna cast...
Do move up.
On Gaston, I'm gonna cast Hideous. Nope, I'm gonna cast Hypnotic Pattern.
Do we wanna... Is this really...
I'm a teenager. Things upset me easily.
Dupe formation.
This is my formation.
Just out of curiosity, Galena, where are you casting Hypnotic Pattern?
Where's Gaston?
Gaston is behind you by himself near the Eye of Grimsh and the pillars. Everyone else is near the door, except for your party, which is kind of strung out in the middle.
I'm casting it right next to the Raven Queen. So, like, it's on her and in front of Gaston.
Okay. I'm just going to say that Sariel and Eden are not looking that way, so it's just going to hit Gaston.
Okay.
But this is not something you can do subtly. This is something where you are throwing water out and making it jazz up with the lights.
Yeah. I'm annoyed.
All right. Cool. Hypnotic pattern. What that
if
do?
If I was Iria, I would have stabbed him, like, half an hour ago.
True dat. Well, Geesh, you're going to get that fight.
I didn't want to fight. I just don't want whatever's in there getting killed.
Gaston makes a wisdom save, gets a 19. As you throw the water out, he actually, in a lightning fast maneuver, steps forward and slashes his sword through the water, dispersing it, and says, in an almost creepy sense of calm, "These poor souls have left Paylor's light. The only way to redeem them is with fire." And all the other people, except for the girl and the door guard, immediately draw their swords, but the other two sort of like hesitantly draw their swords.
We could have used Sten, definitely, with this fire stuff. It's a good thing I've got water.
Roll initiative, guys.
Sorry, Sariel.
Sariel shrugs.
He's annoying.
Gaston's been switched out for our different token.
Yes. I like how Sariel's just like, guys, stop. No. Okay, fine. Let's get this queen bear.
All right, dupe. It's the thing you like to do.
Someone else critically succeeded.
Yeah, but yours is bigger.
We got Ooze. It's going to be great.
Hey.
Okay.
Odette, come back. Shoot arrows.
Too bad there are no windows in here.
Oh, there weren't windows? Darn. Well, but you said that dupe heard me. Heard me and Gaston talking.
Oh, he's just... The front door was open.
Yeah.
Okay.
Excuse me? You keep talking about Odette and her arrows? What is wrong with me?
No!
I have powers. I can fight things.
I want more NPCs to help us kill the bad guys.
You're a dragon girl.
Yeah. I'm
You're a dope dragon lady.
Badass.
I
want to be.
Molly's going to incinerate some people tonight, so.
Initiatives?
No need to say your initiatives, but why does Sariel get to go twice?
Because she critically succeeded with a 22 initiative.
Okay, dope.
Obviously.
All right. Sariel, you're up. As this very clearly turns violent, as Galena just cannot take any more of this jerk's lip and throws out a hypnotic pattern at him.
They were gonna kick us out. That's rude.
So rude. What's up, Mama Bear?
Oh, jeez.
She got distracted by honey.
I didn't. I'm trying to decide exactly how to do this. I am going to try one more diplomacy roll. Sariel is going to yell out. And I want to say, I don't know if this will cost me an action or if I can do it just for flavor. She's going to more or less just change her voice. So it's like combination yelling, growling.
Okay.
Just like trying to get that bear volume and that bear rasp, but still speaking the words. And just kind of take what he said and like repeat it. Hot-headedness has turned allies on each other. And there's no need for there to be bloodshed here with these shared goals. But we fought monsters and things from beyond this plane.
And a motherfucking dragon.
we've fought things from beyond this plane. We've fought a dragon in the service of peace and order.
I'm going to cut you off there because that was getting kind of speechy.
All right.
People are about to start fighting.
Basically, we've fought things worse than you, and...
Roll that intimidate.
18.
There's a moment where his eye twitches just a little bit, but he steps forward, and you realize a moment, you're like, Paladins are known to be fearless, but he says, there will be a blood sacrifice here tonight. Better it be yours, and better it to be abundant.
Yeah. I knew he was going to hurt someone.
I mean, does it have to be us? I mean, do you not, like...
It's going to be them. We're going to
have like
them
a pigeon or something you can sacrifice.
All right. Changing into an animal is a bonus action, right?
Mm-hmm.
I turn into a bear. F*** it.
Burr.
Woo!
All right. It is guard who was at the door and just came in and literally gave Dupe like a you want to leave before this gets bad thumb. Seems less than enthused about this, but also like reacts very negatively when Oos just throws her cloak off and like slams her fists together and they start to glow and swings at her because he does not like this surprise orc lady in his business. He rolls a 20, which hits, and deals 9 damage to Oos as the sword slashes along her bicep and she just like smiles as blood starts coming out of it, gets ready to throw down with this dude. Other lady who is next to Geesh. Attempts to do the same.
I want to say this is why Geesh rolled a 3 in initiative, because he totally didn't want to pull a sword on this lady. He saw her hesitate.
She does hesitate as she draws her sword, but like as these paladins seem to like be going down, she looks around and nods sort of to herself, like, if they're doing this, I gotta do this. And swings at you, Geesh, for 12. Does that hit your AC?
Give me one moment. Gotta check the part about my armor.
It doesn't. Low key.
Yeah. So why does my AC say 12 now? Oh, because it dropped my shield. Yeah. Should be I think I'm at 13 is my current AC, so yeah, no, it doesn't hit.
Wait, are you not wearing any armor?
Oh wait, yeah, my AC is much higher. Why does it say 13? How weird.
Okay. Glenna, you're up.
Yay. I'm going to cast Cloud of Ice Daggers and put it on Gaston.
Gaston, what'd that do? Dex save? Con save?
I'm casting at level 5.
She wants him dead.
Well, holy cow. Alright then. Dexterity save. DC 15, he does not save. And as the knives... I assume you just take the water that he just splashed and like reform it into knives?
Yeah.
And they start to slash in at his armor, finding gaps, dealing 26 damage. And he is now in a swarm of glass.
Ice.
Of ice shards that swirl around him, searching for gaps, and he has to bring one hand up to protect his face. As they make contact and draw a lot of blood, like some of the wounds look pretty bad, he starts to glow from the inside, but it seems to be like radiating from his sword arm first, and it almost is like black light emerging from him.
Yeah.
But he just laughs as he starts to take serious injuries. Eden.
Ooh. I'm ready and raring to use some steel wind strike on these mofos.
Oh dang, this is gonna be real bad for them.
Don't attack the hesitant ones.
I figured yeah. It fits the theme here. Also, I really don't want to kill Gaston because I want to continue to make Beauty and the Beast references.
No one bleeds like Gaston.
Yeah, good one. All right, but yeah, absolutely. I certainly don't want to go after the hesitant ones. Which ones are the hesitant ones?
I think this one and this one. Yellow and purple.
Okay, I think I can only attack up to, 5 enemies?
Yes, 5 enemies. But you have to be able to bounce from one enemy to another. So you can go through all the Searing Knights if you want to avoid the normal people. You just sort of end at the end of the room with having hit 3 targets.
Okay, I'll go ahead and target all the knights.
You could take out the 2 guards as well if you want.
Are they among the hesitant?
Yes, the 2 guards seem more hesitant.
Then I will leave them alone.
Okay, click on that 3 times. Actually, click on Firebolt. Excellent. 3 times.
Yes, one sec.
And the spell once, so I remember how much damage it does. Jeez. That's a bad spell. That's a good spell.
Oh, fudge. Well, one of those rolls was a critical fail. The other 2 were 12 and 18, so not bad. But dang, man.
Does something maybe good happen when you critically fail, or is that different because you're dragon now?
Only when it has to do with magic?
So let me describe this as Eden flickers and disappears, reappears next to the Knight of the Searing Rose next to the wall, who is just getting ready to charge at her. You appear next to him, swinging down your knife, but your knife just skangs off of his armor. It appears they're wearing full plate. You appear at the next guy. You barely find a chink in his armor, but when you do, you dig deep and deal 6d10. You deal 29 damage to him, and immediately disappear as he swings in your direction, appearing next to the last Searing Rose Knight, who's been watching this happen, this split second of activity, and swings in front of himself as you appear.
Oh no!
Does a 17 hit your AC?
It does.
He deals 12 slashing, and his sword appears to be just glowing ever so faintly with a similar light, and one radiant, so 13 damage total.
Oh, man. Well, I mean, that could have been worse, but still, ouch!
The man that you just stabbed goes down to one knee for a second, and you see the... It's difficult to see pretty obviously because it's kind of dark, and also his clothes are, for the most part, red, but the blood seems to migrate towards his sword arm, and he begins to glow similarly to Gaston.
Oh boy. No one glows like Gaston.
Mm-hmm.
No one throws like Gaston?
The one that you managed to stab charges at Guiche and attacks with advantage because you are flanked.
Good-oak.
No one slaps all these b**ches and hoes like Gaston.
Really? That's it?
No one... I was trying to think of something that rhymes with glows.
No, I mean his attacks. So he did two attacks, James?
Oh, you're not talking to me.
Yes, those are actually a little bit too low. Those are going to be too higher. I didn't put in the proficiency correctly.
Well, they still don't hit.
19 and... I'm sorry. 18 and 13 do not hit.
They do not hit.
Awesome. This guy rushes at you with a greatsword, and you manage to turn away both hits.
Mm-hmm.
But as you are defending, you are realizing that he is hitting you with, like, some Sten level strength, which seems beyond a human his size. And as he is now in your face, you can see that one of his eyes is glowing with that black light energy, but it's completely subsumed, where the other eye is normal, but, you know, a little bit like that crazed bloodlust.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, we will wrap for the evening.
Oh, snap. I didn't even get a turn, but I'm doing okay.
You will get a turn. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Our heroes throw down with holy men, but will these knights be as unbreakable as the temple around them? Find out next time on Sometimes Heroes.